preach this Sunday, he suggested to use the theme of prayer, because that's what had been the studies you have been making. And I look in the internet, and I Google prayer. There are over 2 million entries on prayer. And actually, just on the word prayer, if you add the other things, prayer for healing, prayer for peace, prayer for this, prayer for that, you can come up with over 10 million entries in the internet on prayer. It's something that everybody has an opinion, including me. Amazingly, though, I found that there are many, many sermons already prepared on prayer. The temptation was there to take one of those, but I controlled myself. Although I began to wonder that if, after I finish this sermon, if you're going to wish that I would have stolen one of the other ones. Well, I believe that prayer brings you together with God, and brings you together with God, but as you really are. But also, it brings God as God really is with you. One of the things that I've learned about prayer is never to fool around with a big guy. You know, how many preachers and televangelists and priests we have thought that they are holier than thou, and then of a sudden there is a scandal on sexual scandal, indiscretion, or fraud, or God knows what. Indeed, they pretended to be better in a special way, but they were not. God, indeed, knew who they were. Indeed, God knows our heart, knows our inside, and he knows exactly, as what one of the things we read, before we even bring our prayer, God already cares for that. He's just waiting for you to care, and he will be listening for you. What you need to pray, one of the things that you need to do before you pray, is to really wish to have God as your company. Now, if you want God to be a faraway thing out there, and you can do whatever you want, and then anytime you're in trouble, okay, God, come over here, but come with your eyes closed. I don't want you to see really who I am. When you pray, God doesn't close his eyes. God comes and knows us as we are. God is willing to be with us. You know, how much time do we pray? Well, for sure we pray when we come to church. If you take, from the time you park and the time you worship, the time you have coffee and you say goodbye, and you get back in your car, I would say that around 2 hours. But what about the other 166 hours of the week? Where is God there? Where is God there? Actually, I don't say that you need to pray only in church, although it's good to pray in church because you're praying as a community, but St. Paul says, pray at all times. Are you? Are you able to be in communion with the Holy One doing whatever we do throughout the week? It's when we surrender, and only when we surrender ourselves, our time, and our desire to commune with God, that we realize that he was there for us all the time, knowing and caring for us, and knowing and care for every need that we may have. You know, it's easy to pray or to want to pray when there is trouble. You know, as a bishop, I get to pray a lot because bishops are always involved with trouble. The only defense I have is prayer, because God is there with me. Now, the best thing is not to wait until you need something real bad to pray. I mean, those prayers of priority mail or Federal Express overnight are okay. But my God, with a simple stamp, it will get there. But God, if you do it every day, you indeed need to be constant in prayer. Prayer is like exercising. Prayer is like exercising. Every time I go to the doctor, my cardiologist, he tells me that I have to get on a diet, and he tells me that I have to exercise. As you can see, the lectures have not worked very well. But my wife, Diana, she's an exerciser. She's always exercising. She runs 3 or 4 miles a day, and then she does all kinds of calisthenics with that big blue ball. You know the one I'm talking about? Well, she does that. We spend time doing that. But the other day, We had to run at the airport to make a connection. And if we missed that connection, we had to stay in that town overnight. So we actually run. And I can tell you, she went from Concourse A all the way to Concourse E without any problem. No problem whatsoever. Well, actually, I thought I was going to die. And that was before getting to Concourse B. I would have paid good money for one of those little carts that they have in the airport, but there were none to be seen. You say prayer is like calisthenics. You have to exercise prayer, keeping your line open with God. And God, indeed, is always listening. We don't need only to meet God in church, because God is everywhere around us. There are times when we pray in the middle of the storm, and we ask God to calm the storm. And there are many times that God calms the storm. You know, God does listen to our prayers and calm the storm. But there are other times that instead of calming the storm, He calms us. He calms us, God's children, for us to have the strength to withstand whatever is coming. I believe that our prayers are always heard. They're not always answered the way that we want or the way we expect. Our God is indeed an awesome God. And many times we get in trouble or we are going through major problems. And many times I feel like the grape. You know, that grape, you pick it and then you begin to crush it. And I feel many times like that grape that I'm being crushed. And I scream, God, why, why? Like the grape may scream. And God, indeed, God calmed me in that process until we all can become fine wine. Because to be fine wine, you need to be crushed many times. The times that in my life I have fallen to my knees in prayer, I have found that God is always there. Now, He doesn't receive us like a Coke machine or a Pepsi machine, to be fair with the other company. He doesn't. It's not a machine. You don't put like 75 cents or the dollar. Actually, putting a dollar is very hard these days. Have you ever tried to put a dollar in one of those machines? It keeps coming back at you, and you have that fight back and forth. Well, God indeed receives us, but He's not a machine. He's a loving parent, and He will hear us and do the best for us. You see, the prayers of intercession and petition that we bring before God first should be for others and then for us, always knowing and accepting that God's will should be done. In prayer, we are reminded of the responsibility that we have for others, as we heard in today's gospel. If we look at the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, remember, the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And that's when Jesus used the Lord's Prayer for the first time. But you see, when He gave that prayer, He used the first person singular, not the third person. I'm sorry. God used the third person plural and not the first person singular. Okay? You remember grammar. In the Lord's Prayer, it doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread, or forgive me, Lord, my trespasses, or lead me, Lord, or deliver me. But instead, it teaches of our relationship with the rest of our sisters and brothers. It's not give me this day my daily bread, but instead it says, give us this day our daily bread. It says, forgive us. It says, lead us. Deliver us, and not just me, 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 as sometimes our prayers come out. It's not only to pray for the protection of our children and families, but the protection of all children and families. It's not only to pray for the protection of those who are in danger, but all those who are in danger. Also, during this financial crisis that we are going through, I have been asked if it's okay to pray to God to bring the stocks up, to restore our money and save Wall Street. But you know, some people say, no, that's not correct because that's Wall Street and all of that. But we pray for crops. We pray for ships to the time, for prosperity. So indeed, I believe that it's perfectly fine to pray for the stock market to recover, to pray to restore our lost money, or for Wall Street to recover. Maybe that is today's crops these days. But make sure that your prayer are not only words, but also deeds. Remember, prayer is responding to God by thought and also by deeds, with or without words. Prayer is responding to God by thought, but also by deeds, using with words or without words. As you face this economic crisis, there is a great temptation to say, well, the first thing I need to cut is my pledge, or my church, or God. After all, he owns the universe. He has plenty already, right? So let's get him out of the way. So pray not only by thought, but also by deeds. Do not forget others if you want God to give you today your daily bread. Remember, it is in us, not just me, that Jesus taught us to say. When we pray, we expose ourselves to God, as we expose ourselves to heat and sunlight when we go out during the day. When that divine light is shining on us through prayer, I don't want God to think, God, what a greedy guy this is, that he's asking for guidance for him, or blessing for him, or prosperity just for him. Our prayer should be a natural language of love, where we demonstrate our Christian love by loving our neighbor as ourselves. Soren Kierkegaard said that prayer does not change God, but it changes he or she who prays. Let us be willing to be changed by God. Let us open ourselves to God so that he can speak to each one of us and use each one of us. Now, if you're one of those warriors of prayer, you know who you are. Please don't stop, because the church needs it. Don't stop praying for the bishop and for the church. We need it. Now, I could not finish this sermon without referring to the wonderful work and ministry of the Daughters of the King. I don't know if you're familiar with the Daughters of the King. This is the first time you're here, but this is for daughters, not for sons. But the daughters have a ministry of prayer. They pray for the church, they pray for the ministers of the church, and they pray for whoever asks them for prayers. Indeed, they are really prayer warriors that we have. The daughters know something, that prayer is radioactivity, like radium, that luminous and self-generating form of energy. You may not see it, but it's there. And that force is there. If you're exposed to radioactivity, I mean, it's going to affect you. If you're exposed to prayer, it is going to affect you. It's going to transform you. It's going to transform others. And the daughters use that power. But they know that prayer, in its simple definition, is merely the wish that turns towards God, that God receives. And they know that God hears prayers and that God answers prayers. Now, if you're not a prayer warrior, or even if you don't even pray, remember that prayer is like one of those laws of the universe. You know, you don't have to believe in gravity. Who cares? But if you jump from the third floor, you're going to go down, not up. Even if you don't believe in gravity, when you pray, something wonderful or extraordinary is going to happen. You don't have to believe in God and ask God to receive. I'm praying today that you may be a man or a woman of prayer, that you may turn to God, and that God indeed already has turned for you. Go and meet him. He's waiting for you. Amen.